Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
8:16, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Before we welcome in our guest, I'll tell you my own personal story, which I've told before. My dad quit high school at 16, went to fight the Japanese in World War II. Because of the cigarettes were readily available, became a heavy smoker and spent the last week of his life, 69th, he was 69 years old when he died, which is very young, coughing up blood in and out of consciousness due to the COPD from the smoking. So for people that smoke and think, well, you got to die of something, and they think it's going to be a quick bolt of lightning that takes them out, I'm here to tell you that's not the case, especially after watching him in a nursing home for 5 years before he died, that miserable death, not being able to breathe and so forth. With that, we welcome in Dr. Stephen Cantrow, our friend, Program Director of Pulmonary Critical Care Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Morning, Dr. Stephen. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking the time with us. I'm passionate about this because of the experience with my dad and realizing that it's not going to be a quick bolt of lightning when people casually say, well, you got to die of something. I don't think they realize what's ahead for them. That being said, politics and science always make for strange bedfellows, and that's what slapped me in the face when I saw this story about you going to Baton Rouge. Tyler Bridges has a story about it at NOLA.com. Tell me about it, Doc, in your own words. I just want people to understand what happened here.
Yeah, well, 10 years ago, I had gone up to testify. It's the only other time I've been to the Capitol to talk about, to testify for the tax increase that we were trying to get forward at that time, and that was successful. And there was an opportunity to come up and speak to that issue again this time. And so I drove up to the Capitol and got to participate in that discussion around two bills, one around taxing for vaping and one around an increase in taxation for tobacco. For those of your listeners who haven't gotten to go testify or go sort of see how the sausage is made, it's interesting. You know, I think my takeaway, actually, with a little time for reflection, is that, mm-hmm. I mean, I sat in the Ways and Means Committee. That was what met about this question of tax increases. And, you know, our representatives, this is us. These are actually really lovely people who are doing their best. But the issues are complicated. The science and the politics do intersect. And so when they were talking about vaping and the tax increase there, there were good questions from almost every single person in the committee. It was really a terrific discussion. It came to moving that bill forward with a positive vote for taxation for vaping, which is, of course, a really incredible problem, but not nearly as dangerous as cigarette smoking. And then the next bill that came up that had an opportunity to testify about was the one to increase taxes for cigarettes. And as your personal experience actually demonstrates very clearly, cigarettes are unbelievably dangerous. I read recently someone said, look, if you have a choice between vapes and fresh air, choose fresh air. Mm-hmm. If you have a choice between smoking cigarettes and vapes, choose vapes every day of the week, if you can really make that leap from cigarettes fully to vapes and not use both to increase your smoking. But smoking, Tommy, is your family experience? This is a fact most people don't really appreciate, which is, if you're a smoker, there's a 50% chance you're going to die of a disease caused by smoking. If you are one of the ones who dies of a disease caused by smoking, you lose on average 25 years. That's about when your dad got sick, right? His early 60s and then died
late
in his
50s, late 60s. Right. Late 50s.
Right. So you lose, I mean, just in fact, you lose 25 years. I've got a friend diagnosed with lung cancer right now then who's battling this. And but what hangs in the balance is 25 years of life if you're a smoker and you're the half of smokers that end up getting one of those diseases. So, boy, this couldn't be a more important question. So I guess my observation from that part was that the representatives were terrific about the vaping. Lots of fantastic questions. When we got to the cigarette, I listened to the advocates speak, and then I had an opportunity to say something. I thought, wow, this is really kind of straightforward. And Representative Mandy Landry had put forward that bill, and I'd heard that she was going to actually propose an amendment to increase the tax that she had initially proposed of 33 cents, because taxes for cigarettes and for vapes, those change behaviors, certainly change behaviors. And for adults, you can do some back of the napkin calculations, figure out how many people you could help quit smoking by increasing the taxes. So in the end, it was a kind of a brief presentation and then very few questions and then a vote against, which there's an opportunity going forward to do some really important work to close out what's been a century of cigarette smoking. It was a fantastic experience. I feel like, as I said, I've had a chance to reflect and think about kind of how our legislature works, and they're good people who I hope get all the right facts so they can represent us the right way.
Let me take a break, and I want to pick it up here. We come back quoting from our friend Tyler Bridges' story. You had appeared, Dr. Cantrode appeared at the Capitol only once before, May 2015, when then-state Representative Harold Ritchie, Bugalusan Democrat, in his final year in office, sponsored a $1.18 per pack increase in the cigarette tax. Ritchie's move won notice because he had been smoking for 50 years and was suffering from emphysema and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, as did my dad. And we're going to take a break, Doctor. When I come back, I think two things jump out at me from here. When you get down the road of COPD and emphysema, then you realize where the dangers lie. But it's a little too late at that point, and all you can do is try to preach the message forward, which is what we're trying to do here. And I also want to talk about, people think cancer and heart attack when it comes to smoking. I want to talk about what emphysema and COPD actually looks like in the final stages of life, or as we mentioned earlier, the last 25 years of life. 823 Traffic Now, WWL. 828, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Just a couple of minutes left with Dr. Stephen Cantrode. Never enough time. He testified in Baton Rouge, heard about that. He's program director of pulmonary critical care medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Doc, in about the 90 seconds that we have left, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, I'm trying to educate them. If they smoke now, cancer, heart attack gets the attention, but it's really the COPD and the emphysema. Talk about what the final years of your life are going to be like, if you will. I know because I saw my dad go through it, but just as a physician.
Yeah, you've lived those. But those are, definitely increases heart disease risk dramatically. But the two diseases that are most closely associated, I mean, these diseases almost wouldn't, they'd be very, very uncommon diseases without cigarettes, would be emphysema, COPD, and lung cancer. And lung cancer, when it comes on average, people live about 2 years or less after that diagnosis, one of the more aggressive cancers. The COPD unfolds gradually, and then it leaves you short of breath all the time.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The time it leaves you struggling to breathe when you're trying to just move around the house a little bit. You're on oxygen. You end up going to the hospital, sometimes ending up on a mechanical ventilator. It changes your life in a dramatic way over those years to decades, depending on how long you can live with it. You have a risk of lung cancer that's higher when you have COPD too. So the COPD and lung cancer, they exist mostly from a public health perspective, mostly due to smoking. And at this moment, Tommy, this is actually one of the reasons I went to Baton Rouge, which is less than 1% of seniors in high school are smoking daily right now. It was 20% up until 2000. I mean, as long as most of us have been alive, it's been 20% or higher. And so people are not starting to smoke. That means in Louisiana, the 500,000 people we have that smoke, yeah, we need to help them one at a time or 50,000 at a time by increasing taxes. But half of them are going to die early. Very early because of diseases like COPD and lung cancer.
Doc, you got any resources anywhere people can go if they want to quit?
Yeah, there. You can Google for a quit lines. Louisiana has quit lines. So quitting smoking, you guys, is actually not as hard as people think. There's 1-800-QUIT-NOW is really probably the easiest way to get contact with your doctor. Ochsner has programs, LSU School of Public Health has programs. But here's something important to know, which is, yeah, it doesn't have to be hard. In fact, when I meet people who are smoking, I say, look, I got a medication that will change your relationship with cigarettes. They'll stop tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, it's time to smoke. Let's just start varenicline. That's the number one best medication for this. It's well-tolerated. It's very inexpensive. Covered by Medicaid and Medicare. Louisiana did something great with this, which is it's covered by Medicaid. And it's not very expensive anymore. It's generic, varenicline. So you take that, it'll change the way you feel about smoking. That's a great way to start getting away from this problem.
Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it. A minute late, we'll come back and talk to Cindy Nguyen about the 50th anniversary fall of Saigon. And we'll spend the rest of the show really talking about how that's changed America. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm looking at a piece of Associated Press wire copy here, sent from Vietnam, 4 o'clock on the 29th of April. This was the last chance for those Vietnamese who wanted to go. Rumors had it the Viet Cong would be in the city by morning. Streets around the U.S. Embassy became clogged with the last desperate Vietnamese trying for new life in the United States as against the regimented life they had been led to expect under communism. Cindy Nguyen joins us now, co-chair of the 50th year fall of Saigon Planning Commission, former city council member. Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me your story, if you would, please, and how you came to this country and your journey.
Yeah. So I was 5 at that time, Tommy, and my father wanted us to have freedom, and he definitely did not want to live under the communist regime. And so he packed all of us up, just whatever we had, we put it on our body. I came over to America with my parents, my older sister, my older brother, my little sister, and my mom was pregnant at that time, along with my grandparents and my aunt. We escaped via boat. We were on a vessel. It had to be for days on the sea, just thousands of Vietnamese immigrants just trying to escape. We landed at Guam, where my father was advised that my little sister, Lorna, would not make the journey. She was really sick on the trip. And they told my father that it's best that we leave Lorna back at Guam so she could pass away and they would take care of her. And every time when I think of that story and I share that story, I still get tears in my eyes, Tommy, because Lorna is now 52 years old. Mm-hmm. She is has a master's degree in education, and she has 3 kids. And so I just can't imagine. And for my father to be in that shoe to make that really hard decision on a journey where he had no idea where he was going. And I'm pretty sure he had doubts. But for him was the fact that Lorna had to be with us. You know, so if she was going to pass away on our journey to America, that her family's going to be with her. And so we landed in Arkansas. we landed in Arkansas and then was sponsored by a family in Monticello, Iowa, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we moved to New Orleans because my grandparents can't handle the cold weather in Monticello, Iowa, and my father couldn't fish for a living. So so we moved to New Orleans, where I discovered a whole community in New Orleans of Vietnamese immigrant through Catholic Charities and the Archdiocese, particularly Mary Queen of Vietnam, helped families to settle in New Orleans.
So let me ask you real quick, how close was it, Cindy, to the 50th anniversary in Vietnam? How close was it to the fall of Saigon when you got out?
We actually got out right before the fall of Saigon, so a few days before, and we were on our way to America already.
Tell me what it was, what for people that, like myself, that have lived here and nothing but freedom and never really been threatened by the loss of that, what is going through your mind as a five-year-old? What is the feeling on the streets there in Vietnam, knowing that the enemy is approaching, that your freedom's about to be taken away, you're trying to get out of the country? I can only imagine the desperation, either as a parent or as a child.
Yeah, so for me, for a five-year-old, I was really confused. You know, of course, you know, five-year-old, you don't understand about politics, about war. You just basically and don't understand why I have to leave my home. But I saw in my parents, I saw in my dad's eye in reference to, and I saw he was very, he was fearful. He was nervous. I'm pretty sure it ran through his mind, like, am I making the right decision for my family? It was chaotic. You hear babies screaming. You hear adults just screaming for their loved ones. You know, because a lot of family was separated during this journey. I was very blessed that even though we travel with, you know, beaucoup of us together, we were all together. And that's something that I'm extremely grateful for.
Let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about some of the things that are planned for today, about the commemoration, I guess, that's going to happen. And also about the influence of the Vietnamese in New Orleans and how I guess because of the French heritage of in Vietnam, how you guys kind of, I don't mean that pejoratively, you know what I'm saying, Cindy, how Vietnamese refugees fit so well into New Orleans. We'll pick it up here. We come back, 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 856, 4 till 9, couple of minutes left with Cindy Nguyen, co-chair of the 50th Fall of Saigon Planning Commission. Reflecting on her coming to this country at 5 years of age, days before the fall of Saigon, with her family, leaving a sister behind in Guam who they thought was going to die, thankfully didn't. Cindy, before we talk about what's planned with the Vietnamese-American community, talk about the assimilation of the Vietnamese community into New Orleans. And I guess it would be a lot easier for somebody from Vietnam to assimilate in New Orleans than maybe in a place like Iowa.
That's correct, Tommy, and because of the weather, and then not only that, many Vietnamese at that time fish for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially when you don't speak the English language and you come over to a new country. And so it allowed, New Orleans really was a space that allowed us to, of course, acclimate to the weather, but most importantly for our parents to be able to start working immediately, because we came over literally with nothing. Whatever we had on our body was that's all we owned. And so particularly for my father, he was able to go to fish for a living. And then my mother was able to go pick out shrimp. So in that way, to help the family, you know, at that time, Catholic Charity provided housing for us. But my father was like, listen, you know, we appreciate all the help, but we got to work, save up our money, and then own our own home, because we don't want to depend on others to take care of us. And that's what we did. And leading up to this 50 year was creating a space for them to really reflect, Tommy, because I don't think my parents, along with others, had an opportunity to really reflect on their journey and talk about the pain and what they saw at that time. And so we're hoping that this 50 year commemoration is going to create that space for them. And then most importantly, to engage the community about the Vietnamese community. I hear all the time, you know, I don't know much about the Vietnamese community, despite the fact that we've been here 50 years. So, but there's never too late to learn. And I'm big on sharing culture and tradition with others.
As we have this conversation about immigration in a country, why do you think the Vietnamese people, and look, I'm making it a big group. Not, there are individuals, right? Everybody's different. You, groups are predictable, yeah. Individuals are not. But why do you think Vietnamese people were so successful once they came to this country?
And so I believe because we were basically, I guess, coming from a country. I came from South Vietnam, so in a rural area, we're, you know, working class in Vietnam, and so just the idea of saving and live within your means allow us to get ahead when we came to America. Because I know that, you know, for the past 50 years, many Vietnamese have now excelled to being doctors, own their own business, you know, own their own construction company, own their own hotel. And so I think it's because of us, our cost-saving strategy. And I think there was, like, maybe rumors like, oh, we would have 10 people or 20 people living in an apartment just to save money. It is not a rumor. It is true. You know, that's how we used to save money, so that way we could get ahead.
But you know what? This is American. If you choose to do that, do it. If you're not Vietnamese and you want to live 20 people to an apartment, and as long as it's not against zoning and you're willing to do that to get ahead, do it. That's what America's all about, right?
Well, it's survival, you know, and I think it was our survival technique, you know, to get ahead.
Thank
and then
you.
Not only that, but we have family that were coming over, too, that we want to help.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate your time. I really do, and I'm glad you're in this country. Cindy Nguyen, co-chair of the 50th year fall of Saigon Planning Commission. We'll talk to our professor of history and learn more about Vietnam when we come back.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with Sarah.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.